were going to have a slideshow, but couldn't find a slide projector. Tomorrow we'll find one. So this evening we can read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I thought an appropriate verse might be from the 11th chapter, the Universal Form, text number 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Arjuna Uvacha.
Stane
Rishikesha
Tava
Prakirtya Jagat Prashriyati Anuryajite Cha Rakshamshi Pitani Disho Javanti Sarve Namasyanti Cha Siddha Sangha Stana Hrishikesha Tava Pakirtya Jagat Prahishat Yanurajate Cha Raksham Sibitani Disho Ravanti Sarve Namasyanti Cha Siddha Sangha. Arjuna Uvacha. Arjuna said, Stane, rightly, Rishikesha
Isha,
O Master of all senses,
Tava,
your Prakirtya,
by the glories,
Jagat, the entire world,
Prahishyati,
is rejoicing,
Anurajate,
is becoming attached,
Cha,
and Rakshamshi, the demons,
Pitani,
out of fear,
Disha,
in all directions,
Dravanti,
are fleeing,
Sarve,
all, Namasyanti,
are offering respects,
Cha, also,
Siddha Sangha,
the perfect human beings. Translation. Arjuna said, O Master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. You can repeat.
Arjuna said,
O Master of the senses,
the world becomes joyful
upon hearing your name.
And thus everyone becomes attached to you.
Although the perfected beings
offer you their respectful homage,
the demons are afraid,
and they flee here and there.
All this is rightly done.
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
Arjuna, after hearing from Krishna about the outcome of the Battle of Kurukshetra, became enlightened, and as a great devotee and friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said that everything done by Krishna is quite fit. Arjuna confirmed that Krishna is the maintainer and the object of worship of the devotees and the destroyer of the undesirables. His actions are equally good for all. Arjuna understood herein that when the Battle of Kurukshetra was being concluded, in outer space there were present many demigods, siddhas, and the intelligentsia of the higher planets, and they were observing the fight because Krishna was present there.
When Arjuna saw the universal form of the Lord, the demigods took pleasure in it, but others who were demons and atheists could not stand it when the Lord was praised. Out of their natural fear of the devastating form of the Supreme Lord, they fled. Krishna's treatment of the devotees and atheists is praised by Arjuna. In all cases, the devotee glorifies the Lord because he knows that whatever he does is good for all. Om Agyan Simanandasya Genangina Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Dhinatasmai Shigudave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shvayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadantishva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. This is a very nice verse, and an important verse, wherein the glories of the Holy Name are being enunciated by Arjuna, who is saying to Krishna, he's addressing Krishna as Rishikesha, the master of the senses, that the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. And in the actual translation, the word-for-word translation, it is said, Prakirtya Jagat Parishyati, that the whole world, actually Jagat, Prabhupada translates as the entire world, is becoming joyful upon hearing the name of the Lord. So we might very well apply this verse to the present day Sankirtan movement, because the mission of the Lord is always the same. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanirbhavati bharata. That whenever and wherever there's a decline in religion and an increase in irreligion, the Lord appears and he establishes dharma, reestablishes religious duty for human society, whereby people can become joyful. So herein, Arjuna is indicating the Sankirtan of the Holy Name. Actually, the Dharma for this age is Sankirtan. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Shanga Panga Shaparshanam Yagnai Sankirtan Payayashantihi Sumedasaha. Specifically, in Kali Yuga, there is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Actually, Bhagavad Gita took place just at the end of the Kora Yuga, because Kali Yuga began when? When the Lord left. That's when Kali Yuga began. As soon as the Lord left this planet and went back to the spiritual world, at that very moment, Kali Yuga came into full effect. Therefore, the sages of Naimasharanya, they're very much in anxiety, and they're asking Sukha Goswami, now that the Lord has gone back to the spiritual world, where will religious principles take shelter? Where will those who are pious, those who are saintly, those who are devotees of the Lord, now that Krishna has gone, where will they take shelter? So, of course, we know Sukha Goswami's answer, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Or Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of the Lord, the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the transcendental sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam, it will give light to the people of this age. So here in Dwapara Yuga, Arjuna is saying that the whole world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and everyone becomes attached to you. So we could almost say, this is a prediction of the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, Sankirtan is an eternal principle. It's eternal dharma, eternal religion. It's not only that in Kali Yuga, people are chanting Krishna's name. There's been devotees of the Lord within this material world from time immemorial. And if anyone did become perfect in Satya Yuga,
by the means of meditation, and they achieved devotional service of the Lord, what did they do? They glorified the Lord. What is that verse? Mahatmanas tu mam partha? What is the translation? Anywhere, there's another verse where always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, my devotees engage in my service. So, if anyone reaches the stage of perfection, which is bhakti yoga, they engage in devotional service to the Lord. And there's nine processes: shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu shmaranam, parasevanam. Anyone who achieves the stage of devotional service to the Lord, they engage in any one of these nine processes. If we study Krishna book, we'll see that the devotees of the Lord are engaged in any one of these activities or any combination of these in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we should know that the devotees have been chanting Hare Krishna since time immemorial. In Satya Yuga, when one became perfect by meditation, what does perfection mean? To remain in meditation? No, naturally one would evolve to the stage of devotional service to the Lord. In Treta Yuga, by the process of sacrifice, after attaining perfection by performing sacrifice, what did the people do? What does perfection mean? They engage in devotional service of the Lord, of which Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, is the primary activity. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Shmaranam Parasevanam. On the process of chanting the glories of the Lord, Srila Jiva Goswami explains, is there in the other eight processes of devotional service. Anything that one is doing, he is chanting the glories of the Lord. We read in Krishna book how Mother Yasoda, while she's churning the butter and making the yogurt, she's chanting the glories of little baby Krishna. So, then in Dvapara Yuga, temple worship, after being perfected in this particular process, what did the devotees do? They glorified the Lord. Now what is the topmost glorification of the Lord? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So Arjuna is saying here that the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. And that principle is particularly applicable in Kali Yuga. Particularly applicable in Kali Yuga. The difference being, as stated here, that the whole world becomes joyful upon hearing the holy name of the Lord. And what is the result? That the perfected beings, they offer their respectful obeisances, and the demons are afraid, and they flee here and there. So what is the difference between this particular, as Arjuna is mentioning here, this particular effect of chanting the holy name, when this verse was stated, and in a present condition, that by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most merciful incarnation of the Lord, even the demons get purified. Even the demons become purified by chanting. The holy name is so powerful that chanting consciously or unconsciously, or even chanting, making a mockery of the holy name, God forbid, but nevertheless, even if one chants the holy name in jest, still he becomes purified. So Krishna, as we've heard many times before, he demanded surrender. That's all. You just surrender to me, Krishna said, and I will protect you from all sinful reactions. All the sinful activities that the living entity may have committed since time immemorial, the Lord will arrange for that. So he says, Sarva dharma puritjaja, mamekam saranam bhaja, aham tam sarva papibhyo, mokshasi masaja. Just one condition. So many demons were there when Krishna was present. We read about so many envious persons and demons, etc. So Krishna said, that's all right. Just one condition. You just surrender to me. I will protect you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Just like sometimes there may be a particular government, And they may have the guerrillas or the counter who are against the government, the revolutionaries. So there's so much fighting going on between the two. Just like in, I think, San Salvador and other those Central American countries. There's been wars going on for such a long time, in Panama specifically, in the Philippines. There's many wars going on. In the Philippines, and I forget the name of the lady president there, but anyway, after years and years of fighting, and these revolutionaries had destroyed so much property of the government, and had killed so many people, and harassed for so many years, she said, okay, everything will be forgotten if you just surrender. If you just lay down your arms and you come forth, and everything that you've done previous to this will be forgotten. So many of the guerrillas, they took advantage of that, and they laid down their weapons and they came forth. They were given a type of amnesty from all their revolutionary activity. No matter what they've done, they've killed, they've stolen, they've robbed, they've blown up government property. She said, all right, just one thing, just surrender, everything's forgotten. So the Lord, he made the same condition 5,000 years ago. Of course, these guerrillas had engaged in just a few years of warfare. But the living entity has been engaging in sinful activity since he came to the material world. That's why he came here, to be independent of Krishna. And independence from Krishna must mean sinful activity. So from day one, the Prabhupada said, you cannot trace the history of the living entity in this material world. So therefore, Prabhupada said, from time immemorial, we have been engaging in sinful activity. Not just a few years of warfare against the government, but millions and millions and millions of lifetimes. In various universes and various species of life, we have been inimical to the Lord. So the Lord said, just like the king, he can do that. The king is in a position to give amnesty. Sometimes when a new government comes into power, basically to get the sympathy of the people, the king will give amnesty for all the criminals in the jail who are convicted of lesser crime. Someone may be in for robbery or this or that. Anything outside of murder or things like that. Then the government says, all right, we're releasing all these prisoners. They get the sympathy and the backing of. So only the king or the heads of the state can actually do such a thing. So similarly, the Lord, out of his kindness, he makes these arrangements, but in a much bigger way. Because we have been committing sins, we have been inimical, we cannot even know for how long. So Krishna made a very simple condition. You just surrender to me, abandoning all the varieties of dharma, you just surrender to me and I will protect you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Because someone is thinking, yes, but if I surrender, then maybe I'll still... He says, do not fear, Supreme Lord. But how many people surrendered? Well, the Pandavas and a few. Krishna made this condition to the whole world. Whole world, you just surrender to me. And how many people surrendered? Hardly any. Just a few. Surrender. Made it so simple, but still they could not surrender. Therefore, the Lord again came in Kali Yuga as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this time he made no conditions of surrender. No conditions. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and our Vaishnavacharyas following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they did not even discriminate. Who has fallen, who has not fallen. Who is qualified, who is not qualified. They just go out and deliver the holy name without any conditions to everyone. So that's why Rupa Goswami said of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Namo Mahapadanaya Krishna Prema Padayate, Krishna and Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Chusayana Maha, that of all these incarnations, you're the most merciful, but you don't make any conditions. You don't even ask the enemies to surrender. You just give them the holy name. That is what the meaning of causeless mercy. Causeless means there's no reason. Generally a person had to qualify himself to get the mercy of the Lord. But now, you just become the biggest rogue and you become the first one qualified. Because the Lord is Patita Pavana. He's the deliverer of the most fallen. So Narottam Das Thakur, in the mood of extreme humility, he's saying, my dear Lord, me first. My claim comes first, because actually I'm the most fallen. This is the humility of the Vaishnava. He actually realizes that for such a long time he has been inimical to the Lord. Actually realizing that, he feels himself to be very fallen. An advanced devotee of the Lord, he feels himself to, he's not making a show of humility. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's saying, when will my compassion for all the fallen souls manifest itself, and with a lowly heart I'll go out to preach the divine command. So he's actually praying for compassion. He's not presenting himself as a very elevated, very advanced devotee. He's saying, please, when will this, some Vaishnava qualities come, and I'll actually go out to preach the glories of the Lord. So this is the mood of a devotee. And therefore the Lord, he delivers those who are most fallen. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he delivered the aristocratic people. But who was it that actually delivered the fallen? That was Nittai, Lord Nityananda, whose appearance day we'll be celebrating. Not this week, but next week. Therefore, when we beg for the mercy of Lord Gauranga, we chant Nittai Gaur. Dai Gaur Premanandi, because by the mercy of Nityananda, we get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore the spiritual master is considered to be a type of incarnation, mercy incarnation, the potency of Nityananda Prabhu. By the mercy of the spiritual master, we can approach Gaura Nittai. So the devotee is praying like that to be delivered. And he sees the fallen conditioned souls, and he knows that the mercy of Lord Chaitanya can deliver everyone. The mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Pakashananda Saraswati, the Digvijay. Even when he was young, he was delivering so many scholars and aristocratic persons. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest logician of his time. Pakashananda Saraswati was a great Brahmin. Mayavadi, but he was a well-educated, well-learned man, so Mahaprabhu delivered them. But who delivered all the fallen souls like Jagai and Madhai? That was Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda. They made a preaching team. It's like sometimes our devotees go out in teams. So Mahaprabhu used to request Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur to go door to door and preach Krishna consciousness. Door to door to those persons who were very fallen, so much involved in sinful activity, materialistic activity, he would ask them to go knock on the door, get them to chant Hare Krishna. Sometimes Nityananda and Haridas, they would knock on the door and people would not be interested. They would just slam the door in their faces. So then again they would knock, please chant Hare Krishna. Just chant these words, Hare Krishna. No, go away. No, please, you just chant. They were so insistent. Just chant Hare Krishna. So when they refused to chant, then Lord Nityananda, he would sometimes get on the ground and he would roll all around the house, breaking the furniture and the clay pots and the kitchen utensils and knocking everything up, destroying. And the people would say, stop, stop this. What are you doing? Stop. Haridas Thakur would say, he will only stop when you chant Hare Krishna. Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And then they couldn't stop. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So in so many ways, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Haridas Thakur, they devise means not to deliver the elevated, aristocratic, or the pious, or the Brahmins, but those who were the most fallen. That was their mission. And whereas the Lord, Krishna, he would kill the demons. Nittai said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just before he was ready to kill Jagai Madhi, he actually manifested his Sudarsan. He manifested his Sudarsan, just Sudarsan Chak, just about to cut off their heads. Nittai said, my Lord, if you kill them, then you have to kill everyone in Kali Yuga. Because everyone is Jagai Madai. Everyone is born Sudra, low-born, low-class, less intelligent, dumb, stupid, foolish.
Every one of us, born into ignorance. So Nittai, being very compassionate, said, if you kill them, then you would kill everyone. But that is not your purpose. Your purpose is to establish the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy names. So will you give them your mercy? So Mahaprabhu, he made one condition. All right, you just chant.
No?
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
That was it. The seed was planted. And when Lord Gauranga actually accepted Jagai and Madai as his disciples, his golden, beautiful golden-like form turned blackish from the sinful karma of these two men. From the sinful karma, his body, for some period of time, it turned like black, indicating just how sinful these. Not like Jagai and Madai in the Sunday feast, when Priyavrata and somebody else walk in with a little chalk here indicating a little wound and a bandana and not like that.
Nope.
A bottle with XX on it and making fun like they're drunks or something. These Jagai and Madai, described in Bengali literature, very low, sinful persons. Murderers, rapists, extortionists, anything that you can think of. That they were, but they were delivered by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nittai
Gaur,
they were delivered. So whereas Krishna would actually kill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur and Nittai, they kill the demoniac mentality. They kill the demoniac. So the same business is going on, but in a very merciful way. Just like they've invented a bomb now, a particular type of neutron actually explodes in the air above a city. It's a very intelligent demoniac weapon. It's not very well known, but the facts are there that these scientists have invented a weapon, a nuclear bomb, which explodes very high above the city, and the radiation falls to the ground and kills all the people. It leaves all the buildings and everything, the cars, the buildings, the stadiums, the theaters, it leaves it all intact so that the enemy can come in and enjoy. Very intelligently demoniac weapon, because previously these weapons would destroy the entire city and there would be nothing, no spoils could be. At least in previous times, the soldiers would go to war bedecked with so much golden ornaments and jewelry. So part of the thrill of the battle, part of the reward for the kshatriya, was the booty. Just like Krishna even told Arjuna, fight for the sake of fighting. You go to the heavenly planets to enjoy if you're killed, and if you're not killed, you can enjoy the booty of the war. So much jewels, gold. It was not like nowadays, they're fighting with iron weapons. They may have had iron weapons, but they were bedecked with golden plated armor, silver and beautiful rings, and this is all part of the etiquette of kshatriya warfare. So after the battle, then the soldiers would clean up by taking all this. Would really clean up the big pit. War was an expensive endeavor. In this way, they would be able to continue their fighting. So both sides would win. It was understood the winner would take all this opulence. So nowadays, what is the war like? Everyone is slaughtered. Previously, it was just the soldiers fighting on the battlefield. Sometimes Prabhupada explains that the people, the citizens, they would stand on the field, the sides of the battle, and watch the battle. And they would see who was winning, who was losing, and then after their team, or rather their men lost, then they would just surrender, and that was it. And if they won, they would enjoy. But there was a type of chivalry in the combat, a type of etiquette what was involved, so people would watch like this. But nowadays in warfare, everything's destroyed. The innocent citizens, the children, the women, the animals, the buildings, the whole city, everything's completely wiped out. Just like during World War II, when Hitler realized he was losing the war, and he had his troops pull out of Western Europe, he ordered his topmost general in Paris to destroy the city to the ground. He was leaving, so he said, you
burn Paris, famous word, you burn Paris to the ground. So there was a famous saying, is Paris burning? But the particular general who was in that city and was ordered to do that, he refused. He didn't touch Paris. He considered it such a beautiful city. Even Prabhupada said, when he was in France, Prabhupada was visiting France and we were driving around with Prabhupada in the car. So Prabhupada was looking around, he said, the French are very expert at sense gratification. He said, people come to Paris to enjoy and they go to London to get educated. And he said that in the car as we were driving around. Paris is a beautiful city, so. But he refused, so therefore when he got back to Germany, he lost his life. He was put before a firing squad. That is the principle of modern world. Just destroy everything. The Vedic culture was not like that. So this bomb that they had invented, now taking it to another level, it explodes and the radiation falls down, kills all the people. Everything is left. The enemy can come in and enjoy it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like that. He is destroying the demoniac mentality of the conditioned soul by showering upon them the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, all classes of sinful beings get delivered by the chanting of the holy names. All classes. Even those who are in the bodies of immovable bodies like trees and plants. The Lord inquired from Haridas Thakur, how will all these sinful living entities be delivered in the Kali Yuga? And Haridas Thakur, he smiled, knowing that the Lord knew everything, but still he said, my dear Lord, they will all be delivered by the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And then he went on to explain that when you chant very loudly, you hear, Hare, you hear the echo? You don't hear it so much here. Hare. Haridas Thakur described that echo, that is the kirtan of the immovable objects. When you go out and you chant, Hare Krishna, then the echo comes back. That echo is actually the kirtan of the immovable objects. Haridas Thakur himself imbibed this principle. As we know, Haridas Thakur chanted 300,000 names a day. So it's described that he would chant 100,000 silently, meditating on the holy name. He would chant 100,000 softly. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Like japa for his personal benefit. And 100,000 names he would chant at the top of his lungs for the benefit of all living entities. 100,000 silently, 100,000 softly, and he'd scream the other 100,000. Just like a Dvaitacharya. A few days, we're also going to be celebrating the appearance of the Dvaitacharya. Dvaitacharya taking compassion upon the fallen souls of this age, seeing how degraded they were 500 years ago. He screamed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my dear Lord, please, only you can deliver them. Only you can save them. And his cries pierced the cup. But nowadays, even if they try to get away, still they get the mercy. They can't help them because they have to hear it. One time we were having kirtan in Paris, and we were having a very loud kirtan under a big, you know, sometimes devotees when they do Harinam, they really like to hear the holy name. So they'll go under a bridge or something. You ever have this happen? I remember in Rath Yatra, in the late 1960s, in Rath Yatra in San Francisco, there's an underpass there. The Rath Yatra cart had to go under, and it got stuck going underneath the underpass in Golden Gate Park. And the kirtan was tumultuous. It was so loud. It was like amplified 100 times. And Prabhupada was sitting on the cart, and devotees were just went into ecstasy. Got magnified in kirtan, and that's when Prabhupada stood up and danced on the cart. So we were chanting in Paris under this place called Gare Lafayette. It's a big department store with a big overpass. Tumultuous kirtan, all the shoppers in the stores, you know, Hare Krishna. They were trying to shop. Haribo! So one lady came by, and she had her fingers in her ears like this. She went past the kirtan party like this.
Sorry, Krishna.
So,
this is so strange, though.
Anyway, we didn't do anything. So that Prabhupada was visiting Paris. So that night when we came back, we had a darshan with Sridhar Prabhupada. So he says, oh, how was the Sankirtan today? So we raised our hand and we said, oh, Prabhupada, it was something very interesting. Well, one lady, she came past the kirtan party with her fingers in her ears. The Prabhupada was very surprised. And Prabhupada would be saying, his eyes would get very big. And, oh, fingers were in her ears? I said, yes, Prabhupada. I said, what did you do? We didn't do anything. Prabhupada said, you should have run after her and pulled her fingers out of her ears and chanted, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So like that, people come out. We were coming here this evening from Sydney Temple, and generally people here I find are quite favorable, especially in Sydney. I found people to be very, very favorable. So we were coming down the road, and there was a crowd of people we couldn't see very clearly. Someone said, Ah! Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna! Like he was obviously upset. But I was thinking, how fortunate he is. He chanted more sincerely than I did my 16 rounds this morning. He was chanting. Very, and Nila Madhava remarked, a few moments went by, I said, did you hear what I heard? He said, hey, he's chanting really intensely. So when Prabhupada used to hear, like, the bad reports in the newspapers, Prabhupada wasn't at all disturbed. He said, oh, this is good publicity. They are saying Krishna. They are saying Krishna's name. Like this. So that is the mercy of the holy name. Even if one is the most sinful person and he's not even thinking, has no knowledge of Vedic culture, no inclination, he may even be Muslim. There's no Muslims here tonight. Muslims, very abominable birth. Cow killers, Brahmin, stated in the Vedas that those who are killers of Brahmins, they take birth. They have to suffer in desert regions. So this is a very sinful birth. But even a Muslim, him to be hunting in the forest, killing wild pigs, if by chance he gets gored by a wild boar, he chants out, Ham! I used to live in Egypt for some time. And there we would sometimes go shopping, Cairo, Alexandria, Luxor, all these different places. We were living there for some. We'd go to the market. By associating with the people, we learned this word, haram. The washerwoman would spill her laundry onto the street, haram. Somebody would be disgusted with something in the market, haram. Of course, then it didn't mean anything to us. But later on, years later, when we were reading Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, we came across that particular section where Prabhupada describes the glories of the holy name. He said, the holy name is so merciful that even if a Muslim is being killed by a pig in the forest, and he goes, ha ham, it means how horrible. In Arabic, that means how horrible. Liberation. He gets liberation, he gets moksha, because he's chanting the names of the Lord. Some type of moksha. This may seem incredible. But Haridas Thakur didn't think it was very incredible. When he was engaged in a discussion on the glories of the holy name with some of the local Brahmins in his village, they would come together and they would discuss these things. This was the recreation in the evening. Devotees, Brahmins would come together and they would say, what is your realization about the holy name of the Lord? Or can you give some pastime of the Lord? This is the recreation that the Lord describes in Bhagavad Gita. That the devotee is balanced in his work and recreation. It doesn't mean he's working and then when he gets recreation, he goes to the movies. Or he goes to play football. Or basketball. Or he goes all these different things. His recreation, is he hard day at work, hard day on Sankirtan? A little tough out there today? So what is the recreation? Play some cards? Watch some television? Watch the news? And then the, what is it called? The comics? The cartoons? No.
His recreation is he comes to the temple and he chants and he dances. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. We have free time. Prabhupada said we're always engaged in service. A little free time. If you have a moment where you're not engaged in service, pick up the bead bag. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. I heard Prabhupada say that personally. So you work hard. If you find one spare moment, he said, pick up the bead bag. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. When you were walking with Prabhupada, you would always be fingering his beads like this. Under his breath, he would chant. Chintamani prakasa sadamasu kopavik. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam. Any spare moment, Prabhupada was always chanting. It was something to be noted. Anyway, Haridas Thakur, he's discussing the glories of the local Brahmins one evening. And they're saying, yes, by chanting Hare Krishna, one can destroy all sins. Oh, yes, by chanting Hare Krishna, one can achieve moksha, liberation. Oh, and everyone is, oh. Haridas Thakur, he says, this is nothing so wonderful. He said, this comes even by nambas. Even one is not chanting purely. There's the stage of offensive chanting, then there's the clearing stage. Is it nambas? One is not chanting purely, it's even impure chanting. He said, even you chant impurely the holy name. He said, what is the result? You get moksha, you get free from all your sinful reactions, the effects of all evil planets do not act upon you, the effects of Kali Yuga, you become completely aloof. This way he was explaining the glories, and they couldn't believe. He said, these things are concomitant factors of chanting. And the real glory of chanting Hare Krishna is that one's prema, one's love for God is awoken. These other things happen even in the beginning stages. So Gopal Chakravati, he couldn't believe. He said, if one gets liberated by Nambasa, if one doesn't get liberated by, if one does not get liberated by Nambasa, then your nose will fall off. He challenged Haridas Thakur, and then his nose fell off. So we can never underestimate the glories of chanting the holy names of the Lord. In fact, one of the offenses of the holy name is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna as imagination. So when materialistic people hear these things, that Muslims get delivered even by chanting in ignorance, haram, it seems incredible. But as devotees, we should accept as complete truth these statements. So what? Here's a Muslim getting delivered by chanting, so what to speak of the devotee who sits down every day and very conscientiously, with great attention, uttering each syllable of the holy name in the mood of great awe and reverence. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram. 16 rounds. What is the benefit from that? If a Muslim gets delivered by chanting unconsciously the holy name, he gets moksha, then what is there awaiting a devotee who tries his best to chant his 16 rounds every day? You can hardly imagine. Actually, once there were three sages, and these three sages were discussing the process of spiritual life in each age. Note there was only three. So the first one said, I think that it's easiest to get delivered in Satyayuga. And the other said, I beg to differ, sir. It's easier to be delivered in Treta Yuga. You do some havan, some sacrifice. And the third, no, excuse me. It is most easy to be delivered from material existence in Dupura Yuga. So back and forth. Satya, Treta, Dupura, Dupura, Treta, Satya, Treta, but no one mentioned Kali Yuga. In fact, they wouldn't even say the name Kali, because Kali Yuga is an ocean of inauspiciousness, so they wouldn't even say the name. What to speak about, discuss it. They wouldn't even say Kali. Ooh, Kali. So back and forth they're arguing like this. So then, at one point they say, we cannot decide. Let us go ask Śrīla Vyāsadeva, the literary incarnation of the Lord in the Himalayas. We will go ask Śrīla Vyāsadeva. What is the best age for spiritual advancement? So together they went to the Himalayas, and when they got to the hermitage of Śrīla Vyāsadeva, he was taking his bath. He was in a tank of water underneath the water. And they waited and waited and waited, and still he wasn't coming. So finally, bang on the tank, oh, great sage, please, we have been waiting so long, we want to ask you one question. And still he didn't come. So in unison they said, we want to know, what is the best age for making spiritual advancement? So at that moment, Śrīla Vyāsadeva rose out of the water. He said, Kaleya Doshani Dehe Rajan Asti Eka Mahaguna Kirtanade Vakrishnasya Muktisamba Manamajan. Kali Yuga is the best age for making spiritual advancement. Boom, he went back under the water. So all the sages, Sri said, what did he say? I don't know. I don't want to say what he said. But what did he say? He said, Kali Yuga is the best age for making spiritual advancement. No, yeah, you could say that. Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is an ocean of sinful activity. How could one possibly make advance? So Śrīla Vyāsadeva, he heard their conversation. So again he came out of the water. Satyam, satyam, param, satyam. The supreme truth. Satyam, satyam, param, satyam, he said. Kaleya Doshani Dehe Rajan Asti Eka Mahaguna Kirtanade Vakrishnasya Mukta Sangha Param. Again he said, this is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, of course. My dear king, this age of Kali is an ocean of faults, but there is one good thing. Just by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, one can be delivered from material existence. This is Śrīla Vyāsadeva's conclusion. Once also there was an old man. His entire life he'd been very sinful, engaged in all types of materialistic activities. He even was inimical towards the Vaishnavas and blasphemous to the devotees, etc. So he was on his deathbed, ready to die, a few minutes from his death. And he said, maybe I will chant Hare Krishna. Why not? Give it a good try. So he said to his servant, you go to the marketplace and buy me some japa mala. And before I die, we'll chant these names. Didn't even say it. I'll chant these names. His servant went to the market to take some japa mala. On the way back, his master died in bed before he returned. So, at that time, the Yamadutas came. Obviously, naturally. And the Yamadutas, they wanted to rip him from his body because of his sinful activities and his being so inimical towards the devotees. But just at that moment, also the Vishnudutas approached. The Yamadutas, what are you doing here? You know, this man is so sinful. He'd never done one pious activity, nothing spiritual in his life. What are you doing here? So the Vishnudutas, they smiled. They're very beautiful, effulgent, compassionate smile. And they said, yes, that is all right. He desired to chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, we're taking him. And the Yamadutas, they stepped back. Of course, we have the pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Ajamil, who chanted completely, unconsciously from the point of view of chanting to glorify Lord Narayan. He was chanting in desperation for his son, Narayan, to save him. The same incident happened that the Vishnudutas and Yamadutas came. There was a great discussion. They went to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj told his Yamadutas, yes, if someone is chanting the holy name, you don't touch him. You don't touch. Therefore, Prabhupada said, what is the loss if someone chants, progresses a little devotional service, and then he goes away? What is the loss? There's eternal benefit. If someone becomes a great materialist, everything is lost. So, all glories to the holy name. There's one nice verse we can conclude with in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, discussing the glories of Lord Chaitanya, the glories of the holy name, glories of dancing to the holy name, the glories of the Lord's devotees. Oh, my most merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectarine Ganges waters of your transcendental activities flow on the surface of my desert-like tongue, beautifying these waters of the lotus flowers of singing, dancing, and the loud chanting of Krishna's holy name. which are the pleasure abode of such unalloyed devotees, who are compared to swans, ducks, and bees. And the rivers flowing, which means Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, produces a melodious sound which gladdens their ears. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions? Comments? Jai Srila Prabhu? Yes? Well, if one wants to perfect the chanting, there's many rules and regulations. As one advances more and more in devotional service, then he's able to purify his chanting by living according to the rules and regulations of devotional service. But everyone becomes a candidate for that devotional service, regardless. There's no, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there's no hard and fast rules. He also said like that. So if one wants to perfect his chanting, then one must avoid the 10 offenses and follow the 4 legative principles and live in the association of devotees, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarvashastra, avoid the associate, asat sangha, tiyaga, evaish. There's many instructions. Just like when one is growing up, then one may get away with so many things as a young child. You know, your father will tolerate so many things. But as you grow older and you become more responsible, then the same tolerance is not shown. So in the very, very beginning, one may not know anything about devotional service. The Lord is very merciful. He'll allow one to hear the holy names, to take prasadam, take association of devotees, etc. And for such a person, there's practically no hard and fast rules. Even in the beginning, Prabhupada would just encourage people to chant. For instance, when Chittar Prabhupada was living with the butlers in, he was living with the, in Butler, Pennsylvania? Huh? Agrawals. He was living with the Agrawals. Then Prabhupada was very appreciative of their hospitality and actually their service in giving shelter to a devotee. And then they would apologize for eating meat. And Prabhupada said, no, that is all right. That is all right. And Lilamrita, Prabhupada said like that. She would apologize. So Swamiji, you were coming early, but the smell of meat is still... that is all right. So whatever service one could do, then that was... because that service would lead one to more service. They asked Prabhupada, what is the result of chanting Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada said, more chanting. And one time we asked Prabhupada in the darshan in Paris, what will please you the most? Anything we could do for you, Prabhupada, what will please you the most? Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. So, yes, if one wants to perfect the chanting, as one becomes older and more responsible and more mature in Krishna consciousness, then it is expected that if one wants to succeed in developing pure love of God through chanting, he has to come, he has to go from the offensive stage to the clearing stage to the sudhana, to the pure chanting of the holy name. But in the beginning, practically the more fallen you are, the more merciful the Lord is. He delivers you. He'll accept nothing and give you everything. So that is how we see it. There are conditions, but it's like when one goes to school in the beginning, the conditions are not so strict. But if one wants to go on and get a Bachelor of Arts, and he wants to get a Master's, and he wants to get a PhD, then there's so many rules and regulations. In the beginning, Prabhupada would just give some of the rules and regulations. And as the movement went on, Prabhupada introduced more. He actually introduced more. He said in the very beginning, he said, if I told you all the rules and regulations you had to follow, he said, you would faint. He told the devotees at 22nd Second Avenue. But he knew the power of the holy name, which is the utmost principle, the fundamental principle
Krishna consciousness, the process of the sage, he knew that that alone would bring people to higher stages of devotional service. So when he went to Thompson Square Park, he didn't say, don't touch that unless you've washed your hands. Don't you know you're not supposed to touch something with your left hand? Don't bow down on that wrong side. Don't offer obeisances with one arm. He didn't say any of these things. He just said, chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Then your life will be sublime. And as we mature, we're ready to take more and more seriously the process of Krishna consciousness. But had we been told in the beginning so many rules and regulations before you chant, no one would have been come to this stage. Any other questions? Well, I think the best proof is us. That I think many devotees, were very much involved in material activity, sinful activity before they came. And, in the beginning, it's a rare devotee who in the very beginning immediately accepted the four regulative principles. Very rare. Most devotees just began by chanting. The chanting was so attractive. Oh my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction upon the living entities. Thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govindas and all of these transcendental names. You invested all your transcendental names, and there are no hard and fast rules for chanting. Unfortunate as I am, I have no attraction. So most devotees became attracted to prasadam and kirtan. And after accepting prasadam, the proper medicine and the proper diet, just like Prabhupada said, when you're disease condition, you need good medicine and a proper diet. That's why he said, if you go to an Ayurvedic physician in India and he gives you medicine, but he doesn't change your diet, he's bogus. Because both diet and the proper medicine are essential for curing disease. So what is the medicine? Hare Krishna. And what is the diet? Prasadam. And then gradually, one becomes healthy. So these are the things which Prabhupada introduced in the very beginning. And then, after chanting, and after taking prasadam, and after associating with devotees, adoshradha tata sadhu sangha to bhajana kriya. Then we took up bhajana kriya. We didn't take up, isn't bhajana kriya adoshradha tata sadhu sangha? It's a doshradha tata sadhu sangha, a little curiosity. What are these Hare Krishnas? What are the Hare? It's like I told the story, I was preaching at a university in Cape Town, South Africa, and I asked for serious questions, because sometimes students, they ask stupid questions, or questions to make fun or something, ridicule. So I said, I only want serious questions. So somebody raised their hand, I said, this is a serious question? They said, yes. Why are the Hare Krishnas always so happy? So for a minute I thought, well, this is not a serious question. She said, I'm serious. Please tell me, whenever I see the Hare Krishnas, they're always blissful. So, prasadam and kirtan, adoshadha, a little faith. It looks so nice. They're always chanting. They're always dancing. Their philosophy seems very nice. I'm curious. Ado Shraddha, a little faith. Let me take some Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha, some association. Then after some association, the faith increases a little bit more. Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha. To Bhajana Kriya, then one takes up the principles. And what is the result of taking up the strict principles of devotional service? Anatta Niriti Syat. That the unwanted things in the heart go away. So, that we've seen. It is a fact, the heart becomes purified to a great degree when we take up bhajana kriya, but the heart also becomes purified just by seeing a Vaishnava, just by hearing the Maha Mantra. Otherwise, how would one have the faith to come and associate unless there was some purification there? That's why we're very proud to dress the way we do. We don't, when we go
out to do some. Of course, sometimes on Sangatan we must dress in a particular way. That's time and circumstance. But other than that, when we go shopping, when we go to the store, when we go to visit persons or even family members, devotees very proud to put on a dhoti, kurta, nice shaved head, or, well, anyway, it may not always be possible, but big bright tilak, kunti mala, beads in the hand, Hare Krishna. Who are you? I'm a devotee of Krishna. Devotee is proud of his culture, of his tradition. So when he goes out in the public, he stands very tall, very proud. Whenever Prabhupada would walk anywhere, he's just like a swan. His head would always be back a little bit. He would walk very regally, very nobly. He was a resident of the spiritual world. When Prabhupada was asked, what is your Guru Maharaj like? He said, what can I say? He's a Vaikuntha man. He's a Vaikuntha man. So we are all Prabhupada's representatives, his disciples and his grand disciples. So we're proud of being connected to Srila Prabhupada. We're proud to be disciples of our spiritual master. We're proud of this culture. We detest this nonsense, humbug civilization. We don't want anything to do with it. So when we go somewhere, we proudly display the qualities of a devotee. And you'll find that so many people are attracted. And they just see a Vaishnava and there's purification. Why do you think, Hare Krishna? So Hare Krishna. When I was in some big, big office building the other day, I was sitting there waiting for someone to get get a visa to go to New Caledonia. I was so surprised. I was sitting up, like from where I come from, the part of the world I come from, you know, big businessmen and their secretaries, they come by, they don't even give you a time of day. You can't even stop. Excuse me, sir. You know, get away, son, you know, get a job. You do something usually parasite. But here I was sitting in some, you know, very nice, you know, luxurious office building. Anyway, person after person, Hare Krishna to you, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna mate. How's it going, mate? It's going great, sir. You know, some lady, you know, pearls, the whole thing, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I can't believe it. That's potential, you know. So, you know, as it's stated in this verse, the pious, they're happy to see devotees, they're happy to see the holy name, they love Krishna consciousness. And the demons, they get angry, they go away. So we should never think, oh, you know, so many demons are coming now, we're doing something wrong, our movement's not successful. That in itself is a sign of success. Just like one sign of success is that people are saying Hare Krishna. They enjoy seeing a devotee in dhoti and sari and tilak and books and prasadam. They love that. This is the pious people. But don't forget that there's impious people in this world also. Plenty of them. As Krishna says, there's divine and there's demoniac. So sometimes you find more pious and sometimes you find more demoniac. But the impious, or the demoniac, when they come forward, that's a good sign. Because before Krishna came to Vrindavan, there was no demons. As soon as Krishna appeared, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his, you know, transcendental form, with his transcendental activities and his devotees and their pastimes, as soon as the Lord, then Bhutana came, Agasura came, Chunivarta came, then the demons started coming. So the fact that Krishna appeared and the demons started coming forward as a result, that's why they came, because Krishna was there. So in our execution of Sankirtan and preaching, when we see the demons objecting, that's a good sign. That means we're preaching. If we stop preaching, no one's going to complain. But if we preach and we're manifest in a big way, then it agitates the demons. They start saying, what is this? Hare Krishna. Hey, Prabhu, did you hear that? You know, look at that newspaper article. They're really getting down on this. You know, yeah, it's great. That means we're really presenting Krishna properly. Preaching is the essence, books are the basis, utility is the principle, and purity is the force. So the more purely we present Krishna consciousness in its pure form, without compromising, without watering down the process, fearless to present Krishna and Prabhupada as they are, as Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness, foodstuffs Prabhupada taught us to cook, the way he asked us to dress, the way he asked us to speak, the things he asked, proudly going on in that way, then you'll see more people will come forward to help Krishna consciousness, and more people will come forward to this Hare Krishna. That's a sign of our success. But this was happening 5,000 years ago, it's happening now, it'll happen 10,000 years from now. We don't mind. For us, it's all a victory. Paramvidyayate Shri Krishna Sangatani, especially by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because the pious people, they get so much benefit, and the demoniac people, they get to see devotees and chant Hare Krishna. And they also get purified. That is a mercy. Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Tisayana Maha. The most merciful incarnation of the Lord is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's getting a little late. We can finish there. Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Krishna San Kirtan Yagya ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Oda Premanandi.